Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and we're going to have a discussion today with filmmaker Mike Camoin and student loan justice founder Alan Challenge on an update on the student loan debt crisis movie. So, Mike, why don't you start? Give us an update on how it's going.
Well, it's advancing. We completed the, episode one, Sally May Not, and it won the Whistleblower Summit in July. Then we had some screenings online at this point, and then it played at USC October 14th, on which Alan was one of our key panelists, sort of a homecoming for him to return to his alma mater. And over 1,000 views and got some tremendous response and some press out of it. We're in December. The film will be screening at the Angelica Film Festival, which is in California, but it's also, available via online, as most of these festival events are. So, and if folks are interested, they can come to our website at ScaredToDebtMovie.com and find out about these latest screenings that are coming up.
So, Alan, what's going on with you?
Well, things are really interesting right now, Cynthia. Things are breaking. New news on the student loan problem is breaking on a daily basis almost. So there's a really good bill in the Senate, S-2598, and believe it or not, there's more Republicans than Democrats sponsoring this bill right now, which is almost unheard of. It's never happened before. So the bill will return bankruptcy protections to federal student loans. And honestly, I think this is probably the key to getting student loan cancellation down the road. You know, a lot of people are talking about student loan cancellation right now, but I don't think we're going to see anything meaningful from President Biden unless and until we get the threat of bankruptcy returned to everybody. You know, Biden's been a pretty bad actor on this, quite frankly, and he's proven, if nothing else, that he needs to be pushed. So, yeah, we're very excited about this bill. And, you know, this film is so important, Cynthia, I can't tell you. You know, there are 50 million people in the country who are, in fact, even before the pandemic, who were losing sleep over their student loans, whether it was theirs or whether they were co-signed on loans. These people, this is like one in seven of all adults in this country, if not maybe even a little more. So even before the pandemic, 80% of all borrowers were never going to be able to repay their loans. You know, fewer than 50% were paying at all before the pandemic. So there are just tens and tens and tens and tens of millions of people who should be very, very interested in this documentary. You know, it speaks directly to them, and I just could not be more excited for it to come out.
You know, so if I can add to that, yeah.
My question
Cynthia,
is...
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, you know, something that hit me, I want to build upon what Alan's saying, and he's talking about the 50 million that this impacts, but it's so much larger. So by Congress not solving this, you now have a wave of corporations who are now, as part of their hiring strategies, offering to pay for student loans. So Amazon says that they'll pay frontline workers their student loans the moment that they start working. It's not like they have to give 2 years of service. The moment they start working, Amazon will start making those payments on their behalf. And they estimate it's going to cost Amazon $1.25 billion to recruit and continue. So think about all the other corporations that are going to need to do this, because if Amazon's going to do this, other corporations now have to come on board and pay for student loan debt. Hospitals already do this. They, in order to attract a good doctor, you've got to come up with at least $100,000. And that's still only 25% of the debt or more that a doctor carries with them as they start their young career. So this debt is just extraordinary. It's now costing other sectors of our economy to carry this burden of what, since they've dug as deep as they could into families and parents through Parent PLUS loans, but now it's got to be solved because Congress isn't acting, so it's got to be solved by corporations because that's what's going to attract, you know, these next smart workers to their company.
Now, Mike, you just said a couple of minutes ago there were, you know, a couple of thousand people who had participated in your screening online. Well, 1,000 or a couple of thousand is just a ripple as far as the total number of people who are affected by this. How do you plan to reach 46 million people?
That's a great question. Well, we can't do it alone. It really is a word of mouth type of activity. Marketing is so key. And if you look at how movies get made and they get marketed, a movie, take Spider-Man or whatever it is, and it costs $100 million or $500 million to make, they're going to spend twice that amount to market it. So we try to rub two nickels together to get get something, hire an editor for a day or a week to edit. We also have to come up with the marketing budget. The best solution is to have one of these streaming platforms say, hey, we want a piece of those 44, 45, 50 million, that audience there. We want to put something in front of them that they would be interested in. But the problem is nobody's got any guts because, as we said, everybody's dialed in on this. And right down, as Alan, I think, rightly said, that, you know, our current president doesn't move that quickly in response to this. So you see the corporations that run these major platforms, they're very hesitant about going all in on something like this. But there's going to be someone that does, and they want to make it, or a rising platform, and, you know, they're going to have a really nice, large audience, and that's how you get to everybody all at once.
Now, Alan, you said that the bankruptcy protection will cover what classification of student loan debt borrowers?
Yeah, this is for federal student loans. So the bill is S-2598. As I said, there's more Republicans than Democrats on it. It's got the juice. You know, Senator Durbin is chairman of the Judiciary Committee, so he's already got the votes to get it through committee and get it through a full vote. But this is for federal loans. The one caveat is that they have to be older than 10 years old. So people have to be out of college for more than 10 years. It's not a perfect bill, but I think that's pretty good. And then we have another bill in the House, got probably a far less likely chance of passing for some reason, but it would return bankruptcy to private student loans. And this really is the whole problem started by the removal of bankruptcy protections. It just created corruptions and bad motivations all up and down the entire industry. So this is really the obvious first fix. But really, I think loan cancellation, hopefully by executive order, will come pretty shortly thereafter. So we need to get this film out. We need to get people on, whether it's Amazon or Roku or Hulu or any of the other streaming services. I think we could really make this happen. And I just could not be more intent and hopeful to get this film out there so people can see the truth.
I'm with you, Alan. I'm 100% with you. And One of the things we're doing right now, Cynthia, is we interviewed about 7 editors and from all over. They responded from all over the country, even in Canada. You know, people can work from wherever they are. And these are seasoned veteran editors who work for all those platforms that Alan just named. So, you know, when you put something like this together, they want to know who's involved. And so we're putting you know, very skilled people in mind, but they all let us know they don't work for nothing. And so that's our challenge, but I think we'll be able to close that at some point, because, like I said, the corporations are going to pay for this. They may as well pay for the documentary, because it'll be far cheaper than what they're going to be shelling out to compete with the shortage in the labor force and fewer kids going to college.
But it seems as though, you know, from what you guys are talking, this is not going to happen next week or next month. I still think of it as a long-term process. Alan, would you agree?
You know, it is very hard to say. You know, President Biden could, by executive order, return bankruptcy, certainly to federal student loans, tomorrow with the flick of his pen. This legislation that we're looking at, it could be passed by the end of the year, although, frankly, I think that's pretty doubtful. I could see them maybe doing something big by February 1st. You know, this problem is just so big now, and it's just so it's teetering on the precipice. I think February 1st could be a key date if indeed they intend to turn the lending system back on, as they have said. You know, we'll see. I could see bankruptcy getting returned by or around February 1st, and that would be thrilled. I'm probably a little more optimistic than most people, though. I tend to see the glass half full. So time will tell. I think a lot depends on how hard people fight.
So, as of February 1st, if your crystal ball is correct and this happens, does this all of a sudden say, voila, the problem solved? Is that right, Alan?
Well, I think it is probably the cornerstone of the dam. So how long it will take the dam to fall from there remains to be seen. You know, I think the Department of Education will do everything possible to not have to face a wave of filings, 10, 20 million people, when in a typical year, fewer than 1 million people file for bankruptcy for any reason. So, you know, maybe it'll take 6 months or a year to play out, but I think that would be the key moment would be bankruptcy. I would love to see Biden cancel the loans outright, but I don't think Biden's going to do that, because he's just not a very good guy. He's got a lot of baggage on this issue, going back to the 70s even.
What you're saying, then, is even though, you know, this might be signed into law on such and such a date, that doesn't mean the next day this problem is solved. So the movie still is important and will have an impact on society. Is that correct?
Absolutely. If I could jump in,
go ahead.
You know, Cynthia, if I could just add to what Alan just said, you know, there's a lot wrong with colleges. I mean, let's just take a look at what's happening in the media. We are, and at this time period in our lives, we're going through a pandemic. It pushed business and institutions to the brink. Some people got out of business, and some people got out of education because of it. And what do we see in the last week? We see USC hiring a football coach for a contract of $100 million. We see the Notre Dame football coach leaving Notre Dame to go to LSU for $9.5 million a year. Why is that happening? Well, you got these TV contracts. And people are saying, wait a second, I and my family have had to go through this pandemic, and we've lived with, like, not knowing whether I'd have a job or whether I could pay the bills or put the heat on or have Christmas. And at these colleges, they're going to balloon these athletic coaches to a multi-million dollar status, and you know, anything that is brought into the college was traditionally thought of that would benefit the entire college. It's not. It's benefiting a few key people. It's benefiting the administrators. And that's one of the things we're going to show in the documentary, is just how, like in the state of Alabama and Louisiana, they use these college loans, which ultimately falls back on the taxpayer, because that may not change. So, for example, in both of these sports of basketball and football, you have predominantly black males. But if you look at those colleges, there's still majority white students that go there. So, you know, you have this this dynamic in colleges that support certain things, but not, you know, not everybody equally. So there's just this inequality, the cost of college, its affordability or not. So you have to start to look at issues of race. How are women treated? Why are they the biggest numbers in default? Why do they get paid 85 cents on the dollar? You know, obviously we can't solve all those things, but if you start to look at all those things, there's just something that's just not right about the cost of college on the middle class and certainly the lower class in the United States. So I think, you know, I agree with bankruptcy, but the rising cost and then the priorities of these colleges, that needs to be brought into question.
You and I talked.
Yeah,
right?
I would maybe also add to that, you know, something I don't say nearly enough is that the current bankruptcy bill also has a clawback provision from the colleges, which I think is great. It's not a huge amount, but it's up to half of the original loan amount. So up to half of the amount that the college originally received. So, you know, getting the
bankruptcy
back
really
is fundamental to everything in terms of reorienting the financial incentives and motivations and so forth of all the players in the field. With bankruptcy return, for example, the Department of Education should be far less enthusiastic about lending exorbitant amounts of money for sort of suspicious degrees and you know, in the case of Parent Plus loans, loaning any amount of money with no upper limit. I mean, that is just a broken lending system. You know, quite frankly, I think the entire lending system has to be thrown out to the sort of scrap heap of failed U.S. policy, and we should probably start from scratch, quite frankly. But like I said, I think getting bankruptcy back is the obvious first part. I would love to see loans canceled tomorrow, but we'll see what happens. The next 2 months, I think, is going to be very critical.
Okay, Mike, you had mentioned before a little while ago, as I talked to you about setting this program up, you talked about the book you were reading called Indentured Students. Can you tell us a little bit about that book?
Indentured Students, How Government Guaranteed Loans is Causing Students to Drown in Debt is written by, I may have jumbled that title, but Ellie Shermer, Professor Shermer from Loyola College, wrote this book, and she takes a historical look at, you know, going back to the 1800s of the early creation of colleges, going into coming out of the Depression era and the need to educate, coming out of World War II. So there was the New Deal, and then there's the GI Bill, and then all these things that, you know, the president and the right and the left wrangled over to create what was good for the country. And ultimately, as the title suggests, we now have at least, Alan, you know, at least 50% of the borrowers are indentured by this system, you know, plus their families. So, you know, I heard this statistic. There's 2 million people in prison in the United States. Well, if you take half of the 45 million borrowers, that's 22.5 million people that are in prison by student loans. That means they can't buy a house. They can't buy a car. They're going to go live with their parents. You know, and it's all because of these student loans and this lending system that is has removed their consumer protections. So they're
you know, it's actually even higher than that, Mike. I mean, really, even before this pandemic, of the 45 million just federal borrowers, and we're not even talking about private loans, 80% of them, so that's about 38 or 9 million people, they were either not paying at all, and that's like 50%, or they were paying and paying and paying, but their loan balances were going up. So I think we're talking closer to about 38 or, you know, post-pandemic, it's going to be closer to 40, 41 million people who are virtually enslaved. You know, there's a very good reason that the founders called for bankruptcy and that we freed the slaves, even more importantly, I think. Very good reasons for that, and I think we should harken back to that wisdom. This lending system is at this point, a national threat.
And the politicians,
you know,
have to know that. Right?
Yeah, I think they do. But they're, you know, historically, they have always battled over one thing or the other. Like, we're not going to give this away, so it has to be related to work. I mean, there was, you know, as much as everybody touts the GI Bill, there was discrimination. Like, you know, the college presidents actually didn't want the veterans in their colleges. They thought that they weren't that smart. Well, isn't that interesting? You know, and it turns out that those veterans were actually applied themselves even better in college than the civilians. So for years, the right and the left have argued over things, and they put forth false arguments about what people might do. And Alan has said in other times, like, not everybody wants – nobody wants to file for bankruptcy. And nobody's going to run out and do that. It takes a while to do that. It ruins – you know, you have to put your life on hold for, I think, 7 years. You know, so nobody really wants that. But it is in the U.S.
Most
Constitution,
importantly, Mike,
and
Joe Biden doesn't want to be the president that presides over 10, 15, 20 million or more people filing for bankruptcy. I mean, that would dwarf the Great Depression probably by a factor of like 20 or something. So the threat of bankruptcy is absolutely critical if we're going to see loan cancellation down the road. So,
the
entire
Cynthia.
System is broke. And this is a huge problem that both parties, as Mike rightly says, have, you know, the colleges have sat in the catbird seat. Both parties have essentially ignored this issue and allowed it to grow to such menacing proportions. And I have to say the Republicans have been probably the worst of the two, but, you know, I don't have great things to say about either party at this point. And at this point, it's a states' rights issue, right? I mean, look at, like, the state of Georgia, for example. The Georgia state budget is $48 billion. The state, the people of the state of Georgia owe $82 billion in mostly federal student loan debt. I mean, that's something that no conservative, no Republican can get behind. You know, the governor of Georgia should be calling from the rooftops for President Biden to cancel these loans. Same with the state of Texas, state of Florida, state of Indiana, Missouri, North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Tennessee. On and on and on. Red states are being just devastated.
You know, and it hurts the economy. It hurts their citizenry. It hurts their ability to grow. You know, I would think that the Republicans would get on these bills to fix their home states. You know, so if I could give the proper title here for Dr. Schirmer's book, Indentured Students, How Government-Guaranteed Loans Left Generations Drowning in College Debt. And there's actually going to be an event on January 13th. They'll actually be putting the word out tomorrow, so you're getting it here first. And it features Dr. Schirmer and John Oberg, who is in our documentary. He's a, you know, Department of Education insider. And it leads us into episode 2, The Whistleblower. where we meet research analyst John Oberg, who uncovered wrongdoing by the nation's largest student loan servicers. You know, these are the ones that are closing up shop. John brought 9 servicers, including FIA, Navient, and others, and he found he brought them to court because they overbilled the federal government in millions to billions of dollars collectively, and he was successful 7 out of 9 times. Here's what you'll learn.
We're out of time. We're almost out of time. So for anybody listening to this who wants to know more about the film, wants to know about more about you, Alan, or you, Mike, give out your contact information.
It's just studentloanjustice.org for me.
Okay,
and
Mike.
scaredtodebtmovie.com for us.
Okay. So
support the film, everybody out there, especially if you have student loans, support this film. Very important.
So we're going to have monthly radio shows about the progress of this movie. I think it's very important. So we'll have next installment will be in January. So between now and January, what can people do, Mike?
Well, I'll echo what Alan just said. Support the film. It really makes a difference for us to keep the lights on and keep our editors, keep the mice going so that we can get all these episodes out. But also, they should also go and visit studentloanjustice.org and chime in there. Become more aware of the needs. You know, I get Alan's emails, and people can make phone calls and call their senator. This is a key time in the nation's history. So on student loans to right the ship here. It will not right on its own. That is for sure. That's what I've come to know.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
people
I'll
need to own this problem. They need to realize that the people in Washington, D.C. probably aren't going to solve it for us. It's we got to own this, and we've got to fight. So supporting the film, calling both of your senators and telling them to co-sponsor S-2598 is absolutely critical right now.
Okay, so, guys, you have a happy new year, and we'll talk again in January. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Alan. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Happy holidays, Cynthia.
Thank
Alan.
You.
Thanks for having me on.